to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Or if you travel back east, often referred to as Spokanewa. But for us locals, we'll call it Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus has been in business a couple decades, I will admit. God's been good. The Lord is good. God is good. God is faithful. God is true. Anyway, we can talk about that later. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. That means that anything to do with precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, investing, we do. Okay, we're very well balanced. We do bullion. We do gold. We do silver. We're honest. We're fair. Our motto is honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. We are high volume, low margin. Okay, we're not a little piddly coin shop, which, I mean, I don't know how many of you guys been around, but it's sad. We had a guy here for a while. We had a guy working for us for a while who owned a coin shop in town for about 3 years. Good guy, and a comment he made when he was here for a little while was that we had as many coins in inventory as the entire inventory of a coin show that you would see in Spokane, and I don't disagree with him. We have a tremendous inventory. What makes us unique, folks, is this. Well, not there's a few things. Me, for one. But other than that, we try, and this may be hard to understand, but folks, there's a lot of stuff in the world, okay? Our job is to buy and sell stuff, and it just happens to be very expensive stuff. When we buy estates and collections and things like that, we dump the junk, okay? We try to get rid of the junk. We get it out. We hand select quality collectible investment grade coins. Now you might, and here's the thing I run into. There's this concept, I don't want coins. I don't want to have to know about coins. I don't want to worry about coins. Folks, there are things that are just, they're wonderful investments. They don't have to be crazy expensive. They can be a couple hundred bucks. They can be, I mean, we've got coins that are 50 bucks. You know, I don't know that all of them are the best investments. Some are, some aren't. When you're buying them in bulk, they're good. Bulk silver dollars, folks, are, to me, they're a great way to go. They're an awesome way to go if you want silver. And the thing is, this may be hard for you to comprehend, but these things will be around, quote, you know, hypothetically forever, okay? By forever, what I mean is as long as you and I are, or our species or our race are stomping around on this earth until Jesus comes back and wraps everything up, precious metals are going to be here. Precious metals-based assets, collectible coins and whatnot. I wish I could explain the psychology. Number one, human beings are made with a desire for value, okay? I don't care if you have... Okay, here's one of my side stories. This last, I believe, maybe Friday night, we have, now just folks, forgive me for being so tangential before I even waste my time on this story. But so we look on the cameras and my son says, are you watching this? And I look up, there's five guys in our front parking lot dressed like whatever, including men wearing bras, everything, transvestites, and whatever. I mean, obviously hammered, wasted on whatever. Three of them have these great big 4-foot-long wood staffs, at least three of them. At least two of them, maybe more, have full 4-foot-long metal broadhead swords, and they are sparring with each other with this stuff. The parking lot is piled with crap, with all this trash, just junk. The rain's pouring on it. It's trash, but it's the stuff they're hauling around. And You know, I'm not going out there. I call 911 because these guys are playing with swords. And when the police finally come, they immediately start arresting these guys. These poor guys are strung out on everything you can imagine, which, by the way, quick side note, number two, transgenderism is a mental disorder, okay? They've proven over and time again that just because, you know, they always say, oh, it's society's fault because they're rejected and it hurts their feelings. But, folks, when they have the surgery, the suicide rate among transgenders is 40%. The only other group in history that's ever had a suicide rate that high were Jews in concentration camps. They were committing suicide for obvious reasons because it was death anyway. And then I bounce, you know. And then the magic question is, you know, there's the old Catholic thing, if you commit suicide, do you go to hell? I can't imagine that God would operate that way, but that's definitely not the point. So the point is, the police come and arrest these guys. Hallelujah, thank you, praise Jesus. And then when I'm out there and I'm telling the police, what do we do with all this stuff? And those guys are yelling, no, that's our stuff, that's our stuff. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's all junk. But, you know, and it's just trash. It's garbage they've dug out of garbage cans and whatnot. But that's, what a stupid example, but that's an extreme example of how we place value on things. These guys, whatever, whoever they were, you know, they had garbage in the rain that they placed value on. When you're a normal human being and you're not living your life like that, you have things you value. You know value. If you know, one thing that is interesting is if you make money in life, what do? I mean, you buy things. You buy bigger, nicer, better things. Why? Because God gave you a sense of value. I don't know why. Maybe so you could understand that the fact that he values us, and the fact that he values us is a gift of grace towards us. We don't deserve it. I mean, folks, we're broken. We're fallen, you know. I mean, we're not the best at all. I mean, we're a messed up people. And God forgives us. He loves us. There's something about our free will that really tangles us up. And we watch our little children grow up, and a lot of things they do are cute, and we love them to death. And, you know, that's, and on one hand, and then on, you know, maybe God sees us the same way, I hope, you know. I mean, and some of us get real evil. Some of us really, you know, we'll break laws. We'll do some real bad things, and we'll make huge life mistakes. And, you know, I mean, hopefully we all learn and we grow. And, you know, we just don't know for sure what happens after we die. Jesus said we're going to be with him in paradise. No, he didn't. He said to the man on the cross, the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I'm sure most of you know how horrible crucifixion is, my God, hanging there. I mean, just taking the worst beating in your life and then hanging by nails and the sun and parched, and you're just dying. And then at the very end, they break your bones so you can't push up and breathe anymore. And I mean, it's just sad. But anyway, Jesus told that guy he'd be with him in paradise that day, because he repented. And that, you know, that technically was a deathbed confession or a deathbed conversion, right? And so the bottom line is that we desire value. We want value, okay? Now, why would we go back to, why do we care? Why do we have museums that display things from 4,000, 3,000, 2,000 years ago? Even 100 years ago, because we care, because we value things of the past. We value. What is the number one stuff we value? We value handmade quality items, you know, what, statues, statuettes, coins, gold, silver. But we really value coins, don't we? Old coins. Because why? Because number one, they were there, right? They were there. There's nothing like coins that were there. The early U.S. coins are the coolest of all, because our country is the greatest of the greatest of the great. ever in history. Are we still that? Absolutely. Are we deviating? Yeah. Are we playing with fire? Yeah. I mean, we're messing around with fire, and it sickens me. It saddens me. I personally believe that I think it's called the Frankfurt School of Socialism has taken over our nation. I'm sick and sad and worried about the Second Amendment, because I think that the Second Amendment, you know, that game, oh, what is it, where you pull the sticks out of the pile. It starts with a J. I haven't played Jenga maybe or something. I don't know. Where you go around the table and people pull sticks out, right? You stack all these sticks up real high, like a couple feet, and people take turns pulling a stick out. And the guy who finally pulls the stick out and it makes the whole pile fall down, that guy loses, right? Well, that the Second Amendment is that last stick, okay? It is so critical and so crucial that you understand that, folks. And we had another school shooting last Friday, for God's sakes. And I'm sorry if people felt that that's taken the Lord's name in vain, but it's not, because it is. When I say for God's sakes, I'm saying for the sake of God, you know, in the name of the Lord, by God's power. Why? What's going on? Where are you, Lord? Help us, Lord. So it's definitely not taking the Lord's name in vain. If you felt that it was, it's a sad, terrible. It's terrible that what's sick, you know, whacked out nutbag is going to go into school and shoot up children. And folks, what is happening to our psychology in this nation? What is the psychology that is causing us to have one after the next of these? Now, that shooting in Vegas, I don't buy it. Call me Conspiracy Kevin. I don't care. I'm into empirical evidence. And there is no empirical evidence whatsoever that guy did the shooting. That's not true. They do have video of him transporting incredible amounts of arms into the room. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know who was behind it. I just don't know. I don't know. I can't fathom it. Why would you do that? What in the world? What kind of sick, sad, my heart just is sick by all this stuff, folks. And I apologize. I will admit to you, with Donald Trump in office, okay, you would think I am a conservative. I am a constitutionalist. I'm a little bit of a libertarian. And you would think that I would just be overjoyed. And I'm kind of sickened by what's going on. I'm getting sad. I mean, I'm like, because what bothers me is I'm a money guy, okay? And sure, we got this great big surge in the stock market. And, we need to think about why the stock market, again, is doomed for failure, again, and why gold and silver are what we need to have. Okay, I'm biased. I'm the precious metal salesman on the radio you've been listening to forever, and I'm always the same. But folks, Bible, 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 right? I mean, it is so weird when you go through history and you see how we've built up to this point since the beginning of this country. We started this country on the most biblical, puritanical, spiritual ground you can imagine. I can't imagine or know of another country that was founded by such puritanically Christian men. I mean, we start with the colonies, right? And we've got pastors and preachers and people learn you don't work, you don't eat. And then as you go down the list over time, you know, you start to get to the point where you have like the Federalist Papers that, you know, they are negotiating, they're debating, they're contemplating, they're thinking about our Constitution. I mean, so much thought and energy and effort went into this. And they create a system, and then then the, you know, our leaders get together in a room, which was a miracle, because you, I don't care. You know, you might look back and think, oh, they were all conservative Christian. They thought similar like we do now. They were people just like we are now, and they fought it out. They fought it out. And then when, as they walked out of the Capitol building or whatever it was, and the lady said to Ben Franklin, well, Mr. Franklin, what kind of form of government did you give us? And he said, a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. What does that mean? Why was he so smart? Why was he so smart? Why did he know that it would be a struggle to keep a republic? Because what a republic is, a firm set of laws and rules that are supposed to be non-negotiable, inflexible, unchangeable. So what do you mean, if you can keep it? Well, the problem is, I mean, maybe they knew this then, maybe they didn't. I believe they did. Man's greedy. We have this thing called socialism where man's godless. Man sins. Man falls away from Jesus. You know, we need, you know, and people who don't know who Jesus is think that's, they think I sound crazy. I get, you would love to see the filth mail that I get and the hate mail and the trash and the wacky stuff. You might not really love it, but it's bad, man. People are like super offended by my faith. It's real. Jesus Christ is real, and he is the hub of who we are and why we're here today, period. Long story short, that's it. Without Jesus Christ, we, you and I, would not be listening to each other on the radio right now. And this country, we wouldn't, because we wouldn't have the freedom of the airwaves, we wouldn't have any of it. We would not have it without Jesus. Because Jesus liberates people, and the Bible and God liberates people. It is very interesting that God let Israel sit for such a long period of time in captivity, in slavery, before he finally brought them out in out of captivity to live free, or to begin to start to work through him, through them. But man, what a story. You know, he gave them the promised land. You're like, why'd he pick that? How'd he pick Israel? Well, if you've been there, you realize that when things were good, that was a great place to be. Everything flowed through there, travel, trade, you know, they had water. What's really weird is they had fertility in the soil. They had some good stuff going on, folks. I mean, when times were good, and it was really interesting when I was on my tour over there listening to Ronnie Simon, who said, you know, it's definitely documented when Israel obeyed God, their land was fertile. And it produced, and they did very well. And so my prayer right here, right now, in front of all of you, is that, Lord, I pray that my life and those of our business would glorify you, and that you would bless and prosper. And I pray that to each one of you. I declare that over each one of you. Live a life worthy of the Lord. And remember, he wants your heart, folks. He is not into your good works. Now, our good works are filthy rags. Don't get me wrong. Someone's got to do it, right? And if you're a little too Calvinistic, you know, the concept is everything's going to end up exactly the same way. The only difference is whether or not you choose to participate. You know, that's philosophically debatable. Obviously, God's will is God's will, and things are going to end his way because he's a God. But on the other end, you know, if you come up with a great idea and you start a great business, or what if you do something like, you know, Steve Jobs and you create the iPhone? I mean, are you just doing what God wanted you to do anyway? Was he preordained for that? I don't know for sure. I mean, that stuff, you can get philosophically nuts. But I think you can't say that man has free will if every single thing that happens was preordained and pre-planned and pre-promised. I think, honestly, we are a free will experiment. I use that term loosely because of early Jewish writings. Louis Ginsberg, a Jewish scholar who wrote Legends of the Jews, he combined all kinds of texts together. He had a whole bunch of students, obviously, because he's a college professor in Israel, and he taught, mythology. And he had Jewish students saying, do we have myths? Well, his attitude was, no, we don't have myths. We have true stories. You know, our stories are true. But then he tried to take chronologically all these different books and stories. And some of them I would consider, you know, I don't know if I go heretical, but pretty fantastical. A lot of them are just based on stories, you know, and maybe they're inspired, maybe they're not. They were respected by the Jews at the time. There's some that are just hands down inspired, and there's, you know, you've got the prophets of, you know, we've got prophets in the Bible like Isaiah that we know were prophets. They were prophets of God, and they wrote his word down, and we know that. But, you know, we've got, this country is based on Judeo-Christian principles and ethics. That's what founded us. And folks, our founding fathers were brilliant, God-fearing, God-loving gentlemen. The times were different. And we now, with these school shootings, we've got two choices. I mean, basically, there may be 100 choices. But the way I see it is, throughout history, you got two choices. Well, fight or flight, right? Okay, maybe there's more than two. But let's do this. Let's go fight or flight. You can't flight. You can't run, right? We got to fight back, right? So how do we fight back? Well, option A is we arm the heck out of everybody, which is what I think the answer is. I think we start a national program of education. I grew up in Montana, and from the time I was a little kid, I got to shoot a gun. And I learned stuff. I mean, I got taught early on how to respect a gun and take care of a gun. And then when I was in junior high, I got to take Hunter's Ed, her Hunter's Safety, through junior high, and I got to go to the shooting range. We even brought our own guns to school, for goodness sakes, before we hopped on the bus and went to the shooting range, okay? I mean, these were different times, but we respected those guns. We took them darn serious. I mean, if some kid would have tried to get his gun out of the bag, you know, while it was sat in the side of the gymnasium during that school day, man, other kids would have been running to the teachers like, Johnny's trying to take his gun out, I suppose. I don't know. But the fact that we've gotten to this point, folks, I think it's simple. It's media, okay? It's video games. It's television. It's this ISIS propaganda trash. Why youth are so susceptible to the suggestion, power of suggestion, I don't know. I do think that youth in general can get their brain completely baked by video games, absolutely toasted. You think otherwise? Fine. We'll agree to disagree. But there are studies that show that your brain, the neural pathways in your brain, they reform, they redirect. They don't know the difference, okay? They do not know the difference between really shooting somebody and not shooting somebody. Now, your frontal lobe that controls your what's called your executive function, which takes care of yourself, and, you know, that's one part of your brain. The cerebral cortex is another part of your brain, and there's areas that control your conscience and your morality, and these are areas that are deep, deep, deep inside the brain. In the center of the brain, there's a little core called, it's like the size of a little, not even a walnut. And God hid it way down in there at the top of your spine. It's the hardest thing to access because that's your ultimate brain. That's, I can't think of the term right now, but it's your autonomic nerve system. That's what runs your heart and your lungs and all that stuff that can't be stopped, right? Except by severe trauma. So, you know, God created, oh my gosh, what a system, what a system, what a system. So anyway, where I was going is, and I hate to say this, I am worried about this nation financially. Folks, simple as this, okay? Last week I was talking with a CPA who basically said, And I'm, you know, I apologize ahead of time if I'm negative and not telling you what you want to hear. Trump's tax plan really didn't do anything. It rearranged the numbers a little bit. Did he really ever intend to set up a system where you did your taxes on a postcard? Absolutely. If you guys remember Ben Carson and who was the other black guy, Herman Cain, these were guys who wanted to fundamentally change our tax system. Ben Carson, you know, who's won, was a Nobel Peace Prize and all this for being the most incredible brain surgeon out there. You know, he said, if 10% is good enough for God, why is it not good enough for our government? Well, the answer is that's taxes. The answer is it is good enough for our government. And what do you tell yourself? Oh, if you pay your taxes, you're a what? You're a patriot, aren't you? I mean, aren't you a patriot? You pay your taxes. And, you know, I've heard people say this stuff. Like, they literally think that they're just these great U.S. citizens because they pay their taxes. Well, you don't have a choice. Try not paying your taxes. See how that works out for you. You know, you get when you get these things you hear on the radio that say, hey, you know, you want to get out of your taxes, your tax debt, the IRS is chasing you down. And, of course, they got to throw in the scare tactic and tell you all the horrible things the IRS can do to you, which, by the way, is true. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you get these, you know, well, first of all, part of the reason these guys can save some people so much money on their taxes, I actually, on past due taxes, when I was in banking, I helped some people do it too. It's pretty simple because it's just penalties and fees. These people end up owing a certain amount of tax. They don't handle it properly, and they let the IRS just keep racking up fees and penalties, fees and penalties, fees and penalties, until there's no way. It's just out of control, okay? So that's one way. But, folks, our whole system has gone full tilt, full communism, full socialism. I know, I'm a nut, I'm crazy. But I'll tell you what, the reason we keep ticking is because the American people are innovative. We've got initiative. We've got drive. You know, we're a unique breed. Why? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, this melting pot, you know, we were the melting pot. Now we are a come to papa for welfare. You know, when you get these left-wing socialist whack jobs, that want to open the borders. Oh, and they're like, oh, they're good people. These are good people. And they want to contribute to society. And they want to pay their taxes. And they want to be part of this program. Sure they do. Do you know that the minute they step over that border, we have this, do you understand what catch and release is? They catch them. They get their name, address, whatever. You can't even get an address. They get an address. They say, where will you be staying? So they get an address. And then they say, you have a court date, and they are supposed to go to court and defend their position for being in this country. Well, guess what percentage of those people show up for those hearings? It starts with a Z. Maybe not. Maybe 1%. I don't know. It's so low, it's unbelievable. It's not even realistic. You wouldn't even believe it if I told you, right? That's the truth. I mean, just hard, fast fact, it's the truth. They don't show up for court, okay? And so here's what's worse. Then what do they get? They get welfare. So I had another accountant in here recently. We bought an estate. Estates are fun because sometimes you get like four or five family members. You get to meet all these different kinds of personalities and people. And it's, you know, my biggest thing is I love coins. Just love coins. I'm super comfortable with them. I think they're a great investment. We do balanced portfolios, of course, where we have gold and silver at the base. Folks, the liquidity of gold and silver is so phenomenal. I admitted last week, I've got a bunch of exotic real estate. You can't liquidate that stuff. Don't go buy. I did it, folks. I'll tell you what, like my mom said, you know, my mom wants me to write books, and you guys have never really even heard it all, but just because I've had so much life experience by my age, But I'll tell you something straight up. You cannot liquidate land. Real estate's tough to sell. If you want to sell it anywhere near what it's worth, good luck to you. I mean, it sits bare land. Good luck. You can't even finance bare land. When I was in the bank, if it's the right land, we'd loan 50% LTV. That means 50% loan to value. That means we'd give you half the money of the value of the land. And you'd have to come up with the other half. And if you want, you know, some land to build on, fine. If you just want land for the sake of having land, don't do it. It's not liquid. It doesn't, you know, unless it's in primo. When I talk about investment grade coins, same exact thing as real estate. You know, folks, if you get a piece of real estate that is, you know, you have some long lost uncle die that you didn't know about, and they said, hey, you just inherited 300 front feet and 5 acres of land on Lake Tahoe. Guess what? You are R-I-C-H rich. If that land was in the, the Everglades, you are P-double-O poor. I mean, it isn't land when it says, when the Bible says the only things that are biblically attributed as true wealth throughout history, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life. That does not mean by any means that all real estate is a good investment. In fact, folks, there's tons of it that's not. Huge amounts of it. I would say 95-97% of it is not. You don't want to have the biggest, nicest house on the block. Been there, done that. I've been in developments. I've been the fool that did an add-on, an addition in the middle, you know, of a development where every house looked identical except mine, because I had to go add, you know, some big fancy patio room. You go to sell it, you're done. The money's gone. This has been years ago, but I put like $35,000 in this patio room. Guess what I got out of it? Zippity doo dah day. All it did is made the house way more appealing, more desirable. You know, just be smart, folks. With everything going on right now, I'm telling you, simplistically, we're broke. Okay. And I'm not trying to do scare tactics. One thing this weekend, I spent a ton of time thinking about this. And I just thought, you know, I need to explain this to the listeners in a more relaxed fashion. I need them to just understand that it is what it is. A good friend of mine just, you know, he calls and he goes, is it better if I have $100,000 cash in an emergency fund or gold? For the long haul, or not emergency fund, he said, for the long haul. I said, gold for sure. He goes, why? I said, because in the long haul, a dollar is always going to be called a dollar. It won't ever spend like a dollar. Folks, you go back in time. I mean, I don't even know if you realize how bad things have depreciated or inflated. Sorry. It's out of control. But gold and silver is hung in there. Now, silver is a tremendous value right now. Why? Because it's too cheap. I mean, why? Because everybody's focusing on the stock market. Human beings are like, you know, I picture this huge crowd shuffling. And it reminds me of when you can stand, I don't know if any of you have ever done this, stand outside in a crowd and just start looking up at a building. Just start staring up. Pretty soon you'll see everyone around you start staring up. They don't know why. And then other people see them staring up. And they're all staring up. And everybody wants to be part of the team or part of that whole program, right? Everybody wants to belong. So what do they all start doing? They all start staring up. They start looking up. They don't know why. They have no clue what they're doing. But everyone else is doing it, so they're doing it. So this is what's going on financially right now. Folks, people are not being educated in the least. Not being educated in the least, okay? People don't understand what's happening to our economics, our debt. I've discussed it. We're buried. We're bankrupt. Donald Trump's doing nothing about it. only thing Donald Trump has done positive is supposedly tried to transfer some of the spending from overseas, like Obama. I mean, think about the fact that Obama was sending $1 trillion a year overseas. And I like how recently this guy comes out with this story about how now they admit that they were circumventing weapons to Syria during the Benghazi event. Now that it's way in the past and everything's closed and no one cares and no one's listening, and they let a guy who you've never heard of, who you know nothing about, break the story just to get it out there and put it behind them. Obama armed the militant Muslims. He armed the militant Muslims with unbelievable trillions of dollars of weaponry. I mean, he armed ISIS. He single-handedly did it. Say what you want. Now, as far as Assad gassing his people, that doesn't make any sense. We come out and we say we're going to pull out of Syria. And immediately within a couple days, he supposedly gasses all of his people. I don't buy it. He's not that dumb. There's somebody else pulling the strings. We need to be wise about what's going on out there. You know, we have basically got, you know, a stock market that has been running rampant. Okay, I've always said it will crash up. The thing is, the size of our economy, the GDP, gross domestic product, all that is so big, it's just beyond our comprehension. Okay, now every single penny that exists is backed by debt. It does not even make sense. There's so much wealth spread between the central banks and so much control and so much manipulation, and they manipulate the metals and they manipulate the commodities and they manipulate the stocks and they have the plunge protection team and they remove and replace stocks, and all that's true. But folks, there's one simple, easy way. And you know, and if you have noticed, there was a long period of time that I kind of avoided you know, I don't want to be running a big infomercial. I mean, that's not my goal. But there was this big, long period of time that I just didn't talk about the metals. And now I'm getting super convicted. I'm getting convicted about a bunch of you people out there that are not moving your money over while the moving's good. I mean, metals are at a solid price. They've shown strength. They're down, you know, but not ridiculously at all. They've never, ever lost their value. I mean, we've got to realize that. You're dealing with the one and only thing that's never, ever, ever, ever lost its value. And what I mean, become worthless ever. I mean, you need to diversify your portfolio. You can call it whatever you want, but I can tell you what I do. I honestly, sincerely, without exaggerating, and of course, people go, well, of course you do. You're in the coin business. Folks, I invest in coins and I invest in metals. And they do, some of them go up, some faster than others. But I build and I build and I build and I build. And I'll tell you what, liquidity. Folks, you want cash? Boom. Right now. There's nothing like it. Do you know what I watch people go through trying to get their money out to do a remodel? Or how about all these supposed, you know, special exceptions to pull out your 401k, you know, without paying the 10% penalty. I've never seen anybody successfully, you know, pass through that system. They tell you you want to own real estate. I'll tell you what, folks, you think you want to own real estate, you should take whatever your mortgage would be, add 50 or 60% and start saving for a while, for 6 months, 2 years, see what it feels like. So let's just say you're renting at $750 a month. And let's say your mortgage, and this is someone I just talked to, a gal, okay? Her mortgage would be $1,550. I think she's paying like $800 a month rent. Her mortgage is going to be $1,550. And then the thing I was telling her, you're going to have so much other overhead that, you know, what happens when the roof goes bad? What happens when the microwave goes bad? What happens when the stove goes bad? What happens when the heating and cooling unit completely dies in the middle of the winter? Which, by the way, we've had that experience time or two. What happens then? I mean, it's scary, isn't it? I mean, it is. You've got all this stuff. It's stuff. And it is. It's alarming. Okay? And so you've got to be prepared to repair all these things. You've got to be prepared, like we, you know, had a situation a couple years ago where we have a well and a cistern. A cistern's a holding tank. We had our cistern pump go out. We had no water, none, for a week. They had to order a special pump, and we had to get a company called RC Wurst out there, which is actually the best, one of the better pump companies, but it's called RC Wurst. We had to get them out, you know, and luckily there's a guy, George, there, who's just a fantastic Christian guy, took good care of us, great guy, helped us out. But the thing is, you know, all these things are considerations when you own real estate, folks. I've got a couple houses on the market that are just over the top. They're expensive. They're too expensive. I mean, Spokane's not, it's a blue-collar community. So long story short, exotic real estate in general is not that liquid. A lot of people have this idea that they're going to buy income real estate. They're going to put their money in a house, and then they're going to have someone rent it out. And they're going to, you know, they have all this overhead. They don't think about the taxes and the insurance and the maintenance and the upkeep and the vacancies and, you know, the complaints of everything that goes wrong and the washer and the dryer and the, you know, and the lighting system and the fan in the bathroom when it breaks and whatever else it may be. They don't think about all that stuff that's going to get them. Okay. So I'm telling you simplistically, folks, just get yourself into metals. I'm becoming more and more convicted about this. And I mean more and more and more convicted. Okay, I've gone through, you know, recently all these reasons. I've talked about our global and economic position is tough. Tension around the world's tough. Obama loosened the strings, gave everybody way too much playroom. Trump comes in, he's bold, brash, and tough and rude. But, you know, let's face it, the guy's, he lacks diplomacy. So he's all by might, strength and might. Now, apparently when you meet the guy, shake his hand, and sit down with him, he's a lot better. But in reality, he's tough cookie, okay? And then you've got, you know, so we've got the current path of the central banking fiat currency system propelling the globe towards an imminent economic and financial collapse at an exponentially increasing pace. This is a bottom line, okay? The market can crash up. It's called hyperinflation. When you just keep printing money, folks, it changes everything you do. You don't do anything normal anymore as an American. The country as a whole, we don't spend money wisely. We just make these big budgets. And then we just print more money or create cyber dollars, whatever you want to call it. You know, we've got to have our assets and wealth preserved for a future of financial uncertainty, which is inevitable. Precious metals have remained the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society throughout written human history. There is no exception. That is all the what we sell as investment portfolios has always been the pinnacle form of wealth. So you're always going to have wealth. You're always going to have wealth. You're always going to have it. It may go up, it may come down, but you are always going to have it, which is all that matters, right? Precious metals have remained the pinnacle form of wealth. They're technically not an investment because there's no risk of loss other than just protecting the physical product itself. Precious metals are real money or true wealth. It's there. They've been documented, tested, and true from the earliest beginnings. There's no exceptions, folks. You know, inflation adjustment from historical, you know, before they started suppressing gold and silver market values, gold needs to exceed at least $10,000 an ounce, and silver would need to exceed $500 an ounce to get to comparable buying levels that we've maintained over the previous 1,000 years. The U.S. dollar has lost 99.5% of its spending power from 1913 to 2013. The average home sales price I discussed recently is clear up to like $300,000. At the time of the Fed, it was, you know, oh, I've got it here somewhere, you know, literally $1,400 to $1,700 or something like that. Since we abandoned the gold standard in 71, gold and silver have easily increased over 4,000%. The short-term precious metal spike that happened under the Hunt brothers was just an anomaly. Consumer price index, big deal, right? This is a big deal. Now, it's what is supposed to tell us what inflation is, okay? And so it's supposed to take into account the cost of everything. That makes sense. It used to be the number one selling washer, number one selling dryer, number one selling car, you know, on and on you go. Number, you know, how much the average visit to the eye doctor was, everything. Now, Reagan started to wipe, you know, food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs out. And Clinton came and openly just destroyed it all. He wiped it all out. He said straight up, technology is moving too fast. We can't use the same items. We're going to have to use different items. Now, I know this for a fact. I have a friend who was a PhD in economics, which means he still is. He worked on the CPI board in the early 90s, the Consumer Price Index board. He was on it. He retired, quit, whatever you want to call it, under ethical grounds. He said, when Clinton came in and said, these are the numbers that you will use. And they're like, but wait, those aren't the numbers we're supposed to use. That's not how the system's supposed to work. His answer was, who cares? This is the way we're doing it. I think LBJ started it. But basically, you know, the short term or the, they removed food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs, which is what you spend 85% of your disposable income on to live. So, basically, what I was going to say is the average working man does not get a raise commensurate with the cost of living. So what happens? You go into debt. And so what happens then? Oh, we're dependent on the government. We need welfare. We need handouts. Did you know that when I was talking a little bit ago and I got sidetracked, shocker, dealing with this family, this estate, this lady who works for the feds said that the average welfare recipient costs the taxpayers $67,000. That's not exaggerating. They, folks, do you know that they give them housing allowances? Do you know that they get car allowances? I mean, do you realize this stuff is true? They get all these things. They actually, it's true. It's real. They get this stuff. They get a housing allowance, they get car allowance, they get daycare. Even though they're unemployed, they get daycare allowance. That's just true. So be a, you know, it's just good to know this stuff, where your taxpayer dollar is going. Like the CPA said to me, you know what he said? He goes, people don't even care. They don't even care. They just let the government run amok. We've lost it. Folks, we've completely lost control of our government. Our politicians don't want anything but re-election. They don't want to make waves. The pressure from on high is too great. The closest I think we came was the Tea Party movement. And what happened? The left-wing media went nuts. What did they do? They absolutely labeled the Tea Party somebody they weren't. Just a bunch of good red-blooded Americans that wanted things right. They wanted to fix things. So what are they? They call them Nazis. And then they do all this garbage where they plant fake people. We found out all this stuff during the Trump rallies where they literally plant fake wackos, actors. They plant people to completely misbehave and create riots, and then they film it and put it on TV. Folks, unethical. We're being brainwashed. We're being deceived all the time. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Think about it. You can't even get the truth. You're getting lied to 24/7. Even Fox News, and I say that because it's supposed to be conservative, they pick up the stories. You'll see Tucker Carlson, interestingly, question things sometimes, very cautiously. Why cautiously? Because he'll lose his job. That's why. No one can just come out and say this is a farce. George Soros owns 300 to 400 websites that he has, college-age advocates or whatever you call them, activists, that every morning they pump out his false narrative and his fake stories. You have garbage on the web like Snopes that's supposed to be telling you if something's true or not, total left-wing propaganda. So let's keep going. The CPI, we know, is a problem. Real inflation's bad. Your income is not keeping up with inflation. I don't care what your income is. If you're on Social Security, whatever, it's not keeping up. But folks, I'll tell you what. You want to take $5,000, $10,000, $1,000, $100,000, $100,000. I don't care. You want to put it in long-term savings, get metals. They will maintain with inflation. God said they would. God made them to do so. Man can manipulate. The system will not last forever. Our system is going to snap and break. And people, I don't know what America is going to look like then. I don't know where we're going. I personally think we're heading into a war, and it's going to be a big, nasty one. And it's the only way we can justify to continue to pump out the income we pump out. It's coming. I mean, Donald Trump, he's a tough cookie, man. And the problem is when you get a guy like that, you get ahead of the mob who's tougher than nails and you don't mess with the guy. Once they take that guy off the top, who fills his shoes? You get all these people that are arming up against this big guy, powerful man. And then he won't be there forever. The media wants Obama back, Mr. Smooth as Glass, right? They don't want Trump in there. So be prepared. You have to realize, the 70s stocks didn't do good. The metals did great. 80s and 90s stocks did good, and metals hung in there. But you get, and then in the 2000s, we saw stocks drop substantially. And my goodness, did metals and coins go huge. But in the meantime, you preserve and protect your wealth. It's called wealth and capital preservation. You're saving your money. Folks, I am telling you, do it. Just do it. It is so not that big of a deal. Oh, I have to say this again. I haven't been doing this. I'm bad. Folks, I've discussed the fact, we live on the internet now, and I'm bad, and I don't have YouTube channels and all this. And I'm old school, and I don't do a good job with keeping up. But I'll tell you what, folks, please go on Google. Go on like Google. Here's our deal. If you're a customer of ours or a listener or, a loyalist, go on Google. Give us a 5-star rating. Okay, use your Google review. Give us a 5-star rating. Go on like, and we'll give you a free Morgan Silver dollar. Yes, as soon as we verify it. Now, you want 2 Morgan Silver dollars or 2 ounces of silver? Put a review on Google, Yahoo, and then maybe Facebook or Yelp or something. I mean, folks, I'll be honest. We're not good at being on the web. We're working on a new website, and it's just so not me, and it's difficult. I'm old school, and I've got to get into a new system. I used to just advertise the old-fashioned way. But please, listen to me. Go, get off the phone. Just go on to Google. Log in, get your login. If you don't have it, just open up a Gmail account. That's your email on Google. And folks, if you think they're tracking you and all that, just forget about it, okay? They don't care about you. Now, if you're making bombs and you're a terrorist, yeah, worry about it, okay? But if not, don't worry about it. They're so far ahead of you, you don't even have a clue. They've got so much information on you, just forget about it, okay? If there's a day where they're mopping up Christians, then guess what? Away we go. We either hide, run, or get caught. There is a day coming too, by the way. But I'm telling you, there's only one financial vehicle. When it says on the Bible that people will be casting their gold and silver in the streets on the day of wrath, I mean, you think about it. God creates everything in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, gold. Tells you where to get it, tells you how great it is. The rest of the Bible is all about income and gold and wealth and riches and him enriching his people and, you know, and the temple's built in gold and heaven's built in gold and his son gets gold as his first gift on earth. Folks, get over it. I don't care what man's system says. It ain't right. It doesn't work right. It's broken. Okay? So get your tail in here and just, I don't care what you bring. Bring cash, bring cashier's checks. I'm not trying to be a car salesman. This is the real deal. You can't go wrong. It's liquid. And then you just put it away till you need it for a rainy day. We'll sell you barter material, investment material, a nice balanced portfolio. Remember, they've never lost their value or become worthless. They are a timeless value, biblically endorsed and authorized. Like I said, it says at the end of the Bible that people will be casting their gold and silver in the streets on the final day of wrath. Now, that tells you it goes clear to the end, clear to the end, and then it's in heaven. I don't get all that, but I know that God's word's true, and that's a great thing to know, right? They've maintained their spending power for throughout all of human history. There's a shortage of it. They're universally recognized and accepted anytime, anywhere in the world. They're private, anonymous, transportable, immediately liquid anytime and anytime globally. You know, our dollar supply's gone crazy. We're on a fiat currency. Anyway, folks, give us a call. Get in here. Take care of it. Now's a good time. It's a great time. Thanks again for tuning in. Seriously, appreciate it. Commitment. Love it. God bless you. Pray for us. We love you. We appreciate your prayers. Thank you for your support. God bless. See you Wednesday. Bye-bye.